Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
Hey, what's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I've been struck by a few questions recently. What are you working for? What do you want your life to be? What do you stand for? Whether I'm reflecting upon past job experiences, reading the latest business leadership books, or imagining what could be, at the core is this thought. Am I living to work or am I working to live? Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/229. As I think about this topic, the life you're working for, I can't help but make note of some of the things that are going on in the world. We live in precarious times. If you've looked at studies of the inequality between CEO pay and worker pay, the CEO pay is on the rise, while modern worker pay is relatively stagnant. The U.S. federal government is shut down, and thousands of federal workers are not getting paid. A lot of freelancers are stuck in a feast or famine cycle that keeps them stuck in low or no-paying jobs for quote-unquote exposure. And so, in some instances, I find it really hard to ask this question right now because I know a lot of people are struggling, and a lot of people would be content with getting paid so that they can live. I don't want you to think that I'm releasing this episode blind to the struggles that are going on. This isn't a political statement by any means, but I do want you to know that I am paying attention to what's going on there. So I'm not blind to the pain that people are going through. If anything, I want people to know that we're all struggling to some degree wherever we're at. And asking this question, what are we living to work for, or what are we living for? These are so incredibly important when we're stuck in these hard times. If you don't ask this question, what life are you working for? You're going to be forever stuck on the treadmill to nowhere. For myself, I'm in a season of transition. Last year, I've talked in depth about the journey that I went on from leaving my business to getting a full-time job to transitioning to teaching to transitioning back to my business. But as I transitioned back to my business, I realized that it wasn't where I wanted it to be anymore, because when I took the full-time job, one of the things that I was blown away by was I was working with coworkers who had lives. And that was uncomfortable because for me, my life was work. And so I was sitting in a business that was 100% service-based, stuck in a mindset of time for money, and I realized that I needed to change. And that change was because I didn't have a life, and I want to have a life. Interestingly enough, I made a list probably 5 years ago. I think 5 years ago. And it was a list of 40 things that I wanted to do before I turned 40. And I'll be honest, I failed spectacularly. I turned 40 last month, and I probably did less than 5 of the things on the list. How embarrassing is that? But it is not unique. A lot of us set these goals that we want to do. We say that we want to live this life. But yet we allow ourselves to stay stuck in situations that don't serve the life that we want to live. So why? Why did I do less than 5 things on the list? Because I was more focused on living to work than understanding the life I wanted to live and the support that I needed to build in order to do that. I wanted people to like me. And I thought charging less would mean people would like me more. But in reality, it just revealed that I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about business. Because if there's anything that I've learned is that when you charge less for your work, it's valued less. They look at you with eyes of less than. That's not what I want. That's probably not what you want. But apart from these internal motivations for why I do my work and how I was charging for my work, greater than that is I didn't really understand not only those motivations and the greater impact that I wanted to make on society. We don't live in individualistic vacuums. Our work matters to people apart from our families and ourselves. It impacts our communities with the taxes that we pay. It impacts our employees, our coworkers, and the other people that rely upon us not only for money, but for inspiration and support. So the transition, again, that I'm making is I'm moving from being 100% service-based to wanting to develop products that can impact people's lives in, I guess, magical ways. But not in a sense of magic, but in a sense of impact. And I'm changing my time for money philosophy to understanding the importance of developing value for money. Such an important transition. So in this episode, I want to share 5 ways that you can build the life you want to work for. First, start defining your life as it exists today and how you want it to be in the future. It's as easy as opening your calendar and seeing where you're spending your time and just asking yourself, is this how I want to be spending my time? Another question to ask yourself is, when was the last vacation that I took with my family or by myself, if you're by yourself? How many vacations do you want to have? I remember some advice that I got way back when I started my business. And it was from a customer, and he said, Chris, you really need to get into the habit of going on vacation every quarter, every 3 months. Did I listen to him? Absolutely not. When was the last vacation that you went on? And was it actually a vacation or was it a working vacation? When you take the time to define your life as it exists today, you're going to realize some very valuable lessons. You're going to realize that you might be on autopilot. You might just be saying, my life is fine because I'm doing all the things that I want to do. Or you realize that your life isn't fine. Maybe things are falling down around you and you just didn't realize it because you turned a blind eye to it. As important as it is to evaluate where you're at today, it's equally important to know where you want to go. I made that 40 by 40 list. That was where I wanted to go. But I didn't really define where my life was at the time. I had the vision, but I didn't have the understanding where I was and the tension between those two. By understanding that tension, you can understand the sacrifices you have to make something in the future come to life. Life is a lot about sacrifice. And that's not something that we want to really talk about at times. Sacrifice is a dirty word. But in reality, to live the life that you want, you have to sacrifice one thing for another. You might have to sacrifice certainty for the freedom of working for yourself. Hopefully, momentary uncertainty. But at the same time, understanding that tension so that you can devise plans and solutions for that tension. Second, assess the relationship between your life and work. Like I mentioned earlier, my life was work. And I'm not okay with that. So some questions that I started thinking about, where are you thriving? If you are thriving nowhere, chances are you're living to work and stuck in the cycle of paycheck to paycheck, just being trapped in where you're at. But if you're thriving in your work, look at the tension and the relationship with your life. Maybe you have a strong support system in your life that is supporting you so that you can work better. Or maybe your life is thriving because your work is at a place where you are fulfilled with the work that you're doing, and it's being able to fund the life and the experiences and the bills that you can pay. But then another question is, what are you losing? We are at times losing a lot when we agree to do different projects, when we say no to projects. And so we need to understand what we are losing and whether we are okay with that loss. So when we want to take a job and bid low so that they will like us, we are losing confidence in our ability to solve big problems and getting stuck in the cycle of just saying yes to things we know we can solve. What are you losing, and are you okay with that loss? Third, ask serious questions about your motivation. Okay, there's the book Start With Why. Everyone likes to say start with why. And yes, it's very important to start with why. But I feel that that's kind of a glib statement, and that we can just live in this constant, hey, did you start with why? What is your why? What is your reason for existence? But you know what? It's more than just why. Understanding your motivation is complex. It's deep. Like, understanding my motivations means that I have to look at not only why I do what I do, but who am I serving? Am I serving just myself? Am I serving my customers? Am I serving my family? Am I serving my community? That's way deeper than just starting with why. So that's why you can't just start with why, but you have to go deep in asking those serious questions of motivation. What are you building? Why are you building it? How are you building it? How do you view ethics? How do you view morality? All of the things that don't fit into 280 characters on Twitter. Those are the things you have to go deep in and really struggle to understand, because those are the things that are worth working for. Not just the temporary shot in the dark, flash in the pan. I don't know what the metaphor is, but it's really this idea of being okay with the paradox and the complexity of what it means to be human and what it means to live and what it means to work for that impact. Fourth, seek visionary helpers that can not only help you with your work, but can help you with your life and help you become a visionary helper. This idea of visionary helper comes from the book of Beautiful Questions by Warren Berger. And it's really about this idea of being a person, a leader who has a vision for the future and helps people not only become able to realize that future, but to make sure that you do everything you can to help them move in the right direction. And it's really about not being afraid to give it your all to serve others. This idea of being in service to others is so, we just don't get it today. We don't want to get it today. We want what's going to serve our own interests. When I was younger, probably in the year 2000, I went through a really just very dogmatic religious experience. And the one thing that really impacted me at that time that I have since forgotten until today, actually, is that I took a test, and they call them spiritual tests. They're these ideas of how you're best fit to be in service to other people. What are your giftings for other people? And sometimes it's like teaching, helping, and other things. But for me, the giftings that I had that I kind of forgot about was in service to others, being helpful to other people. And that is at the core of my being. I'm certainly not in the same place today, but I love to help people. I also love to teach, but that's a whole nother aside. But I love to help people. And this idea of being a visionary helper is so powerful because it's twofold. It's the vision and helping others realize that vision and moving in the right direction. So how will you do that? Do you want to do that? These are just powerful questions. And I hope that you'll seek other visionary helpers and you'll get excited about becoming a visionary helper. Fifth and finally, change requires action. If you want to change how you're living and change your methodology for working to live, you have to do the action. It can't just be empty words and empty promises. I've had enough empty promises to my family to last a lifetime. And the sad thing is, over time, people lose their faith in you if you don't act. If you are just a person of empty words, eventually people will go away. Eventually you'll retreat into yourself. And if you don't change by acting, you're never going to get off the treadmill to nowhere. And so every single day, what action are you going to take to impart change, not only in yourself, but change in how you live your life, how you interact with your family, your work, and your community? These are powerful questions, and I hope that you will consider the life that you are working for. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creator professionals and entrepreneurs, and people that could benefit from this show? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to, drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @CMStudios. Are you looking to increase your creativity and curiosity? Then sign up for the Curiosity Lab. Each week, you'll get inspiration, connection to new ideas, and updates on Curiosity Builders, an online community I'm creating just for you, creative professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to learn, engage, and grow. You can sign up today at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of the show notes page at gwtw.co/229. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.